All right, thank you. Turn your Bibles, please. All right, good, thank you. Here? All right. I just giving you guys time to settle down. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 13. I'll be reading in just a moment, verse 34. You might wonder why I brought this with me. I'm known for preaching without notes. Thank you. But it was actually on this platform in February of 2004 that I forgot my third point. And I'm not sure if there's a more talked about sermon that I've preached here than that particular message. I just landed late last night, so just in case, I have brought notes with me today. I probably, hopefully won't need them. But John chapter 13, what a delight to be back here in one of my favorite places. It's good to see our son Philip, who just transferred here. Be good to him, please. John chapter 13, verse 34. Jesus is speaking. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Let's pray. Dear God, I think of the 4 years that I was privileged to spend in this place in the 80s as a student. To sit in this very room and day after day hear the preaching of the Word of God and have my heart stirred, my mind renewed, and to be prepared for the service of the ministry. I remember coming back here for another 4 years as faculty in 2013. And now today it's my unspeakable privilege to be here as a guest. And I pray, God, that we'd be so yielded to your Spirit that your will could be accomplished for this hour. That you take the weakness of the jet lag and the sickness and all of the things that might get in the way, and rather that you turn that to show your perfection in weakness, to show your strength, to show your power, that we might hear from heaven today and that our hearts might be blessed, that we might leave the room and forget the speaker but not forget the message. It comes from Jesus. Please, God, may it be precious to our hearts today. We love you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I work in a country that's 99.98% Muslim. All the Jews, all the Christians, all the Shintoists, all the Buddhists, all the Zoroastrians, all the atheists, all put together make up about 20,000 people in a country of 80 million. That means there aren't many of us there. And one of the things that the Muslims will tell you is that Jesus never put himself out to be anything but a humble servant, a normal human being, a simple prophet of God. And yes, we know that he humbled himself, that he became obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. We understand that he came in the form of a servant, but we also see that he demonstrated himself to be one having authority. And one of the amazing things that catches my eye from this verse is that Jesus, he's speaking in the upper room to a group of devout Jews who have been following him for 3 years now. And he says, I'm about to give you a new commandment. Now, if you grew up Jewish, you learned that there were over 600 commandments given by God. None more important than the Ten Commandments. From the time you were so little, you began to memorize those Ten Commandments. Some people who were very important pillars of your community would even wear the Ten Commandments on their clothing or on their forehead. If anything was sacred to you, it was the commandments of God. And now someone's speaking and say, I have a new one to add to the other ones that I've given to you. Now, what is that? Which one of us would say, okay, there's this many commandments in the Bible, and today I'm going to add one to it? We'd be walking on dangerous ground. But Jesus, the one that gave the original 10, said, I have a new commandment for you today. A new commandment. In fact, you think back to the Sermon on the Mount, and at the Sermon on the Mount, at the very end of it, in chapter 7, the Bible talks about how the people were astonished. The scribes and the Pharisees, they were astonished. Why? Because he taught and he preached as one having authority. You say, I wonder what it was that made them say that. Was it his intonation? Was it his volume? Was it his dynamics? Was it his homiletical style? Well, I don't know what any of those were because I don't read about any of those, but I know what he said. He said, oh, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to perfect it, to fulfill it. Can you imagine if your pastor said, now the Bible's a good book and I didn't come to destroy it, but now I'm going to make it complete. I'm going to perfect it just a little bit. Either he's delusional or he's God. Right? I've come to fill in the blanks for you. You say, that can't possibly be what he means. Well, then why does he say, you've heard that it's been said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill. But I say unto you, he said, let me fill in the blanks. You've heard that it's been said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Who said that? God said that. He said, but now I'm telling you, if you look upon a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery already with her in your heart. No wonder they said he spoke with authority. He said, I'm going to fill in the Ten Commandments for you. I'm going to perfect them, complete them for you. I'm going to tell you some of the things you didn't know. And now Jesus speaking to the 11, because Judas has already left the room, and he's saying, I'm going to give you a new commandment. That would make my ears open and my eyes open, and that would bring me to the edge of my seat. Whatever food I had left in front of me at the table, I'd shove it aside, and I'd listen intently because Jesus is about to add to the commandments. And then he says this, a new commandment I give unto you. Are you listening? That you love one another. Well, time out. I'm confused here. That's a new commandment? I mean, Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18 tells me to love my neighbor as myself. We memorized that when we were little children. In fact, when they would memorize the Ten Commandments, they'd memorize first that you're supposed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and under that, they'd memorize the first four commandments. And then they'd memorize you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. And under that, they'd memorize the other six commandments. Because loving God and loving your neighbor, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. And imagine this now. You're sitting in the room and you're listening to Jesus. He's speaking with the authority of God. And he's saying, now I'm going to give you a new commandment. Oh, what's the new commandment? That you love one another. And you're thinking, wait a minute, I might be a freshman, but I've heard that one before. And so the question that we're asking in our message today is simply this: what's new about Christ's commandment? That you love one another? And I want to mention a couple of things that's new about Christ's commandment. The first thing that Jesus did was that he closed the loophole. Now, God never gave a commandment with a loophole. He didn't give us a commandment and say, this applies most of the time. As a rule of thumb, in general, I'd like you not to kill and not to steal and not to commit adultery. When God gave the commandments, they were cut and dry. But unfortunately, their rabbis and their Levites had inferred what God never implied, a loophole in the commandment about loving one another. Because this is what he went on to say in the Sermon on the Mount. You've heard that's been said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill, right? Who said that? God. You've heard that's been said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Who said that? God. You've heard that it's been said of them of old time, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Who said that? Not God. Right? But this is what they did. They said, aha, ha, ha, ha. He said, love my neighbor.
So if it means love my neighbor, there must be some people that aren't my neighbor that I don't have to love. Right? And the age-old question began to be asked, who is my neighbor? Clearly it's limited, God. I don't have to love everybody. You just said love my neighbor. And we understand by the teachings of Jesus that love my neighbor, number one, meant that you're supposed to be a neighbor. You're supposed to treat everybody like he's your neighbor. And number two, you're supposed to look at everybody else like your neighbor. So when God said love your neighbor as yourself, he was saying love one another. Look at the person next to you. Is he one person? Yes. Is he you or is he another person? He's another person. Then that's one another. Okay? Well, what about you meet somebody different from further away? Different culture, different language, right? Is he one person? Is he you or is he another person? Okay, that's one another. And that's what God meant when God said, I want you to love your neighbor as yourself, but they took it differently. It's okay, yeah, he might be my neighbor, but clearly he's not my neighbor. I'm going to love my neighbor. I'm going to hate my enemy. And Jesus said, I'm going to tie up that loophole. I'm going to say one another. So it's clear to you that I'm implying you're supposed to love everybody. For God so loved the world. Aren't you glad God didn't say, well, let me look around. Who's my neighbor? Let me pick some that are worth loving. Aren't you glad that you can say like the Apostle Paul, not just God loved the world, but the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Aren't you glad we know that God loves every single soul, that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God, who will have all men to be saved, doesn't mean everybody's going to be saved, but it means that's God's will. Don't you get twisted by the Calvinists and let them tell you God hopes some of you go to hell. God wants everyone to hear the gospel. Don't you listen when they say, well, you get saved when God wants you to get saved. You don't get saved when you want to get saved. Okay, well, I'll tell you when God wants you to get saved. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. Today is the day of salvation. I don't care who you are, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I don't care when it is, it's always now. And now is the accepted time. And aren't you glad God loved you? And now Jesus says, listen up, I'm closing the loophole. Forget this question, who is my neighbor? Just love one another. You love everybody. I don't care what color they are. I don't care what race they are. I don't. By the way, race they are. What are we even talking? The human race, all nations of one blood. But I don't care what ethnicity they are. I don't care what language they speak. I don't care what culture they've inherited. Love one another. Love everybody. But he not only closed the loophole, he raised the bar. Because he didn't just say, love one another as you love yourself. Remember, he didn't come to destroy that, but he came to fill it up. He came to complete that. He came to fill in the blanks. You remember Jesus said one time to the people, he said, a lot more I have to say unto you, but you cannot bear it yet. And God gave truth as people could bear it. And God knew that in the Old Testament, they had never really seen with their own eyes what divine love looks like. But they all loved themselves, right? No man yet hateth his own flesh. We all love ourselves. And so God says, all right, I'd like to put the bar way up here, but I know you won't even comprehend it. But could you at least love one another like you love yourself? You know what that is. And Jesus said, I've got something new to say. Just like don't be angry with your brother trumps don't hate your brother. Just like don't lust after woman trumps don't commit adultery. He says, no, I'm saying I don't care if the man's your greatest enemy. You don't love him like you love yourself. You love him like I loved you. Now you've seen something that no one ever saw before. Now you've seen divine love demonstrated before you. And in just a few days, you're going to see me hanging out. In just a few hours, in fact, you're going to see me hanging on a cross. You're going to see what real love is. And it's not enough just to love one another the way you love yourself. Now I want you to love one another the way I love you. Ooh, that's a big commandment. You say, what is divine love? If I've got to raise the bar that high, what is divine love? Well, I know this. I know divine love loves first. Yeah. 1 John chapter 4. We love him because why? He first loved us. Yeah. You know, some of the most wicked people on the planet love people that love them. Give gifts to people that give gifts to them. Right? Didn't Jesus say that? It's really, don't pat yourself on the back if you gave a few Christmas gifts to your relatives from whom you received Christmas gifts. Jesus said, no, you know how I loved you? Well, you were yet sinners. When you were at enmity with me. Stop listening to your rabbi when he says love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And you've got a new example in town. I loved you when you hated me. I loved you when you didn't want me there. I loved you. I loved you, Judas, when you were about to betray me. I loved you, Peter, when you were about to deny me. You don't say, well, I'm going to go looking for a group that wants me there. If they want you there, thank God for it. But what about all the people around the world that would just as soon see you dead? Now, I'm not trying to be melodramatic in any way, shape, or form. But I've had a friend that was stoned. I don't mean he was drunk. I mean he was stoned. I've had three acquaintances that were shot down in cold blood, execution style, for doing what I do. I had another acquaintance whom they cut up piece by piece while he was still alive. And then finally, mercifully, ended the torture by slitting his throat from side to side. And God says, yep, I'm talking about those people. How much do you love them? You say, well, they don't love me. Divine love loves first. And Jesus said, it's a new commandment. It's not love one another like you love yourself. No, it's you love one another like I loved you. I didn't wait for you to love me. And I have other points, but I'm going to just skip to my last point. Not only does a divine love love first, but divine love sacrifices self. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Ephesians chapter 5 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. That's that divine love, the love that he said, with this love, also love one another. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and what? And gave himself for it. And then put those two together. Because he gave himself for you before you were in the church. He gave himself for you when you were in sinful defiance against Almighty God. Why is it a new commandment? Love one another? That's one of the oldest in the book. He said, I'm raising the bar. I'm raising the bar. Now I've shown you what true love is.
Now I want you to love one another like that. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.